For some people, climbing to the top of Mount Everest would be an easy task compared to trusting God with their finances. And this is We Can't, and it's week two of a series where we're talking about trusting God in every way, and specifically with our finances, as our church goes on a generosity journey, which will help us to continue to be the light of the world. And I talked about last week how our church over the past year has been so generous that we've been able to purchase the 8 acres at Hamilton Road and 161. And if you missed that, it was a huge day. We went out there this week, we prayed, and we just expect God to do amazing things on that piece of ground. And as soon as we can, we'll have a sign there. So if you don't know where it is, you can go on the website and there's kind of a map on there on the We Can't website and check it out. But eventually you'll be able to drive by when that road opens. And every single time you drive by, you can say a prayer of thanks and just ask God to use that ground for only what he can do. But when you talk about finances, I've had over the past year and a half, I have had... I have to say I've sat down at least 150 times. That's probably small amount. I've actually probably sat down more than that with different people to talk about their generosity. And all the conversations are wonderful and unique in their own way, but I would say that in a sense they break down into two different parts. And there's one part when I talk to people about giving where It is a real struggle, and people are just challenged to even get their mind and their heart in the spot of, I'm going to start to give to the local church. A lot of people show up at a meeting with me, and they want to give, but they just don't know how, and it doesn't make sense to them. And a lot of people will go on a rant of, you know, their debt or the challenge that comes with giving or that they may not have enough money. And they just kind of go in this place. And then when I talk about, you know, what I'm going to talk about today, which is giving 10% of your gross income to the Lord, it's just overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And I often sit and I end up being like a cheerleader, a coach. Like, come on, like, this is something you can do and you can trust God. And I just watch anxiety and fear and all of those kind of emotions rise with people. And then there's another conversation I have where there's some people who have trusted God financially and they've been doing that for a while, and all they want to do is just talk about how God has blessed them. All they want to do is just say, you know, they'll talk about how they didn't trust God before, but then they started trusting God, and now it's just this amazing journey of trusting God and how God has been faithful and how God has blessed them in every area of their life. And they just want to tell everyone to tithe and to give, and because it's, wow, and I just sit back and I'm just like, woohoo, like I'm listening to someone do a better job than me talk about why they should give. And if you're on this side of that conversation, if you're in the room today, and you struggle with giving, which the people that are excited about giving all struggled with giving at some point. But if you struggle with this, like if there's a check in your heart where you're like, oh, I don't want to hear about this. I don't want to. If you're watching online and you're like, that's why I didn't come today, and you're about to shut it off, I just want to tell you, like, you need to hear this. You're here because God, he doesn't want you to go through life anxious, worried, concerned all the time about your finances and in every way. He wants you to totally depend upon him and live to tell the story of his provision in your life. And if you're sitting here and you just don't want to hear me talk about it, and you're just like, oh, I can't believe I'm just going to endure this. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to let him talk about it because I'm supposed to. Can I just challenge you, please, like, open up to this today? Because every person has struggled with this that's sitting here and that enjoys it. And if you're the person who struggles, it's like, this is for you. And imagine a life where you move past that struggle to a place of trusting God, to where you can tell the stories of the successes and the joy that comes from giving. That could be you. And if you don't move from where you are today to what this path I'm going to put in front of us, then you will always be anxious and fearful and lacking joy and holding on, and you will not ever learn to give. And so this is for you. So just sit back. This is between you and God, and it's time for you to let what God has to say about giving move into your heart and move into your life. The people that have, they will tell you that is the better way. That is the better way. And for those of you that do give, and for those of you that have given, thank you for giving. Thank you for trusting God. Thank you for stepping out. Thank you for believing. Thank you for being leaders. There are so many people in this room who are leaders. So many people that I've sat down with that have trusted God financially, and they'd learned that way before. Is it your phone? Make sure you have a case. It dropped. The people that have trusted God financially, they want to tell other people how fun it is to trust God, and some of you are in the room, so thank you for doing that. And what I want to do today is something that I've never tried to do. In fact, last year when we did this series, the We Can't series, I did what I'm going to teach today in 3 weeks. And what I wanted to do is just in one day, with one simple phrase, take the basic and most important principles of giving from the scriptures and put it into one sentence and teach it to you today. So I have come up with one simple phrase that if you remember this, you will be prompted all the time for the rest of your life to give the way God has told you to give. If you're in the room today and you're the person who struggles with giving, then if you can remember this, it can be your guide for giving for the rest of your life. And you can memorize this, and it's overly simplified, but I'm going to break it down into the three major parts, and we're going to look at stuff from the Old Testament and the New Testament in the scriptures. Everything that God says pertains to giving, I've kind of tried to wrap up in this one little phrase. It's the phrase that pays, literally. And so I want you guys to just look at this. We're going to say it together, and we're going to memorize it together, and maybe one day you'll be on the other side of the equation where you say, I've trusted God, and this is what I've learned, and you could teach someone else this. Teach someone else this once you actually learn it for yourself. It's this. Take the test, give your first and best. Take the test, give your first and best. Everybody say that. Take the test. We got to say it louder. Now, I know it's giving. Hold on. I know we don't like to talk about giving, but like this is an issue that it could not be more spiritual. This could not be more of an indicator of spiritual maturity. Think about it in a new way. To trust God financially, the people who do, it is a telltale sign that they are mature. So if you're sitting in the room and you're like, I believe God, all the other stuff is true, but I don't give, then I would challenge you that where it really counts, you have not grown spiritually. And so I want everyone with enthusiasm to say this. Here we go. Come on. Take the test. Give your first and best. Take the test. The first thing that's so interesting about giving that God teaches us is that he offers an extension to everyone to give, whether your heart is in it or not. Obviously. Most of us, when we first encounter a relationship with God, we're not willing and at a heart level to give him our finances. Most of us start off going, okay, God, I'll trust you with my eternity, but with my everyday, it's going to take some time. You're going to have to kind of show this to me. And financially, it might be the last thing you let go of to trust God. But the thing that's beautiful about God is God actually knows that people struggle to trust him. And that he knows it. Like, so when you struggle to give, he's not sitting there going, oh man, I didn't see this coming. How do I figure this out? He's going, I knew you wouldn't. I knew you don't want to trust me, especially with that which is most important to you. So he challenges us. He says, I know your heart's not in it. I know you're not all there on this finance thing. I know you don't actually, understand that God provides everything. I know you're not ready to give up 10% of your finances. So I will challenge you to something. You give to me, and I'll give to you. What? God actually teaches that it's a step for you if you just give just to see if he will give back to you. He starts it out there. Isn't that interesting? Now, it doesn't stay there, but he gives room for everyone to just test him financially. Just to step out and take a test and see if he will give back. In Malachi, in the Old Testament, is a story, and it's a message from a prophet about the priests, who were the spiritual leaders of Israel. And the priests, in this moment, even though they have this rich heritage of following God and being the leaders of the people of God spiritually, they've gotten to a place where in the tabernacle and through the processes of worship, which is very complex, they've gone through the motions and their hearts aren't in it. And eventually they stop trusting God, the people of Israel, and the leaders of Israel stop trusting God financially. Even the ones who are the like supposed to be the most spiritual, they stop trusting God. They don't believe it. Their hearts aren't in it. And God says to them this. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. He says, first of all, bring the whole tithe. Bring the whole tithe. Now, people wonder, what am I supposed to give? How much am I supposed to give? And the New Testament actually never mentions the word tithe. It's an Old Testament idea, and it's the idea of the gross 10% of all your produce, all your harvest, all your income. And so what God says, he says, go ahead and bring in a tenth of everything that comes out of the ground, your harvest, your produce, bring it into me. Just let go of that 10%. Now, I know your heart's not in it, and this is the context of the passage. Your heart's not in it. You don't want to do this, but God's like, I want you to learn what it looks like when you trust me, regardless of whether your heart is in it or not. And then he says this. He takes it to the next one. It's not just a command. He goes, oh, I know your heart's not in it. He goes, go ahead and try me. Test me, he says. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. God says to every single person, I know you're not there yet. I know you don't understand my goodness yet. I know your heart has gotten hardened, and I know that your motivation is not pure all the time. But listen to me very carefully. Go ahead and just test me. Because if you give, I'll give back to you. One of the things that I have experienced is the new toys that kids today love and play with. And when I was a kid, it was like My Buddy and G.I. Joes and I don't know. Those are the kind of toys that I was like excited about. Well, my kids, they love to go to Meijer, to Walgreens, and they love to get these toys called blind boxes. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of a blind box. Okay, yeah, you might know that. Our kids, they just absolutely love to go get the blind bags and the blind boxes. And what these are is there's a series of characters that are listed on the back. And our kids, like, they watch YouTube Kids and they learn all the different things that can come in the blind box. And so they go to Walgreens and they look at the one. So this is the Captain America Civil War bobblehead blind box. And basically all the characters are on the back, and there's a couple that are like 1 in 200. The chances of getting are like slim and none. And of course, Kellen, Jet, our two boys, they go to the store and they're like, oh man, they look at it, they shake it. They think they can hear that it's like, because Captain America's like the hard one to get. He's like, ooh, I can hear Captain America's shield. It's like, no, you can't. But he sits there trying to talk himself into figuring out which one is going to be Captain America. And every time, like, they get so excited about getting the one that they want that, like, my heart breaks because I'm just like, these things literally cost $5.99 a piece. So I don't go, I'm like, dude, you can get one. I mean, one time I said, you could get two. One time he got one and he just wanted Captain America. And sure enough, what happens every time he opens it up, we go out of the store, we've already paid. He literally like trying to keep one foot in the store to take it back if it's not what he wants. I'm like, dude, that's not the way it works. This is done. He opens it up and of course, Condor Man. And I just watch his heart deflate. Like, oh, I didn't get the one I want. And then I'm like, let's go get another one. I just like take him back in there. And actually one time he didn't get the one he wanted. And I went back into the store and I bought two more. And we're outside, and we're like sitting at East End. It actually, they buy him at Hot Topic. We're like sitting at East End at the little table right there, and he's like opening them, and he opens up one, and it's not in. I'm like, dang it! Come on! It's like, you know, Falcon or something. It's just not the one he wanted. And I'm like, dude, one more. Come on, one more. And he, sure enough, he opens up the third one that day, and it's the same as the first one he got. Condor Man. And my heart is just broken for him. And he's just like, I'm like, are you okay, man? And he's like, yeah, it's okay. I'll just give one to Jet. And I'm like, yeah. You're learning. And I'm trying to say all the things that like parents in America I'm sure say, or maybe it's just me. Like, it's a toy. It's still a toy. There's kids in, you know, Africa don't have any toys. Like, saying these things to him, and he actually got it one time. He's kind of sat there and he's like, hey, you know what? Even if it's not the one I wanted, I still got a toy. And I'm like, that's right, Kellen. You still got a toy. Here's the thing about trusting God and taking the test. God asks every single one of us to buy the blind bag. And he promises you that even if your heart isn't in it, even if you don't totally expect God to do what he can do, or even if you're just not sure, he's like, buy the bag. And you know what I found every single time? Every time someone takes the test, every time someone buys the blind bag and says, I'm going to buy, I'm going to do what God says, he always blesses them every single time. They do not always get. You will not always get Captain America. You will not always get the financial blessing, but you will certainly get blessing in your life. Your life will overflow. I believe that the principle of Scripture to trust God, to take the test, is him to jumpstart your heart, to go ahead, test me, buy the blind bag, and then he starts to bless you. I talk to some people, and I believe it's so true. I've talked to so many people, and there's people that are in this room who could stand up and say, I took the test, my heart wasn't in it, we wanted to buy a house, and within 6 months, we could buy a house. You heard a story last week, two people told that story. So I believe that so often when you take the test, when you trust God with 10%, I believe sometimes, often he blesses you monetarily. He just does. But I believe it's so much more than that. I met with a man this past week, and he sat and told me that he learned when he was young to buy the blind bag, to take the test of 10%, and that God just started to bless him. And he said, in his own words, he said, it's not always monetary. He said, I believe it's way more than that. He said, this week, my whole family is under the same roof. They've been gone for 10 years. And here we all are. We're all together again. This man went on to explain to me, and one day I'm going to have his story on video. This man went on to explain to me that he was diagnosed with cancer and he has heart disease. Three arteries in his heart don't function at 100% level. And without skipping a beat, he said, and I am blessed. He said, God's blessings are not just financial. He said, even though I'm sick and I've been diagnosed and I have cancer and my heart could fail at any time, I am healthy and God has kept me alive. And he said, those I believe, he said, I tie that directly to me trusting God financially. I took the test and he has just blessed me so much. This guy is incredible. He actually goes to our church. You need to meet him one day. He's run like 60 marathons with a bad heart. And he just believes that God has blessed him. And he would stand right up here, and you'll hear a story at the end of the message today. He would stand right up here and say, just go ahead. Take the test. Even if your heart's not in it, God will bless you anyway. That's the way God works. He steps first. And then you change. 10% test, the tithe test invites you to try trusting God before you truly want to. Isn't that cool? Don't let not wanting to stop you. Don't think, oh, if I'm going to do it, I just have to have the right heart about it. God says, hey, we can take steps in that direction. Go ahead and put him to the test. And then tell me your story, because he will bless you. There's no question. Say this with me. Take the test, give your first and best. Go ahead and say it with me. Take the test, give your first and best. Take the 10% test and then give your first. In the scriptures, what God does is through the people of Israel, he teaches them that he loves them so much and he wants to give them a special place, their own land. And when they get to go into the promised land, they are told how to live their lives. God gives them the Ten Commandments, and then he gives them a bunch of laws about how they should live every day. And some of the laws are absolutely incredible, but one of them is called the Law of First Fruits. The Law of First Fruits. And essentially, in Leviticus chapter 23, you can read about God telling the people of Israel to give 10% of their first fruits from their harvest and their labor. To literally, to take the grain, the first 10% of the grain, to take it to the priest. And then the priest would take that grain and they would burn up half of it. And the smoke would rise from the tabernacle where they were worshiping God. And the people would see that God is being honored through the smoke in the air. And the reason that God did that is he said, I want you to understand, I gave you this land. When you work with your hands, when you work with the breath in your lungs, with your eyes, with your feet, when you do this work, you would not be able to do any of it. So at the beginning of your harvest, bring the first that you get, bring it right in to this place. And God does that to teach the people that he's supposed to be at the top of their list. It's so cool. In the Levitical laws, there's a bunch of interesting things that God does, and it really all has to do with trust. And essentially, the first fruits idea is just trust God with your first, and then he'll provide the rest. It's just the way God says, I'm going to work this way. You wouldn't have that first if you didn't have me. So go ahead and honor me. Who among us doesn't want to honor God? Who among us doesn't understand really, that we would have nothing if God didn't create this earth and give us the opportunity to work. But that's what happens, is we forget. And there was a bunch of other laws that he said. One is really cool, and it's a little bit of a trail, but just the scriptures are so amazing the way God works. One of them is called the Law of the Sabbath. And of course, many of us know that we take the Sabbath day or the seventh day and rest. God worked for 6 days and then he rested. But the Law of the Sabbath is even more intense. It says this, it says that you're supposed to work for 6 years, and then on the seventh year, don't work at all. Interesting, isn't it? People often think that trusting God is about giving to God and having to give. And what God says is, actually, I want you to stop. I want you to stop working. I want you to stop toiling. I want you to stop and simply rest and know that during that seventh year, all the work that you put in for 6 years, I will provide for you. And he tells the nation of Israel that if they just stop, just trust him for a whole year. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if we could all take a year off? Siesta, baby. Who doesn't want that? Listen, that's the way God works. Go ahead and work. And then it says that there'll be so much harvest in that seventh year that by the time you restart the cycle, the storehouse will have so much in it, you'll have to move the old out to bring in the new harvest from the first part of the new six years. Unbelievable. And all of this is about God saying, trust me. And one of them, he says, give your first. Essentially, Solomon, who then kind of was the king of Israel and the most wise man to ever live on this earth. God kind of calls him that. He sums up this first fruits with one verse in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Honor God with your wealth. Honor God with your wealth. Sometimes I sit and talk to people and we talk about their finances, and what they do is they say, we don't have the money. I sit, they come to me and say, man, Joel, we really wanna give. And they say, we don't have the money. And at that point, I just have to stop. And I think of this, honor God with your wealth. And I think of some of the statistics about what it means to live in the United States. If you make over $30,000 household income, you're in the top 4%. If you make over $50,000, you're in the top 1% globally. The majority of the world, lives off of under $10,000 a year. Many parts of the world live with an income under $1,000 a year. And so what I hear is people saying, I don't have the wealth. I don't have the money. We don't have the resources. And I'll sit there and I'll go, wait a minute. Where do you live? Gehenna. Okay, so do you have a house? Yes, we have a house. Do you have a mortgage? Yeah, we have a mortgage. Do you have cars? Yeah, we have cars. Do you pay for any school debt? Yeah, we pay a little bit of school debt. Do you put your kids in college? Yeah, we put our kids in college. And so you're telling me that you in your mind, because you pay for all those things, that you don't have money to give to God? Yeah, we just don't know how to make it work. And this is when I go, okay, that's not the problem. The problem is not resource. Our problem in the United States is not resource. You know, there's missionaries that go to this church that are part of local like missions crew. Some of them are sitting in the room, and they have committed from other folks around them $40,000, $50,000, sometimes $65,000 a year. The missionaries among us. Oh, you guys, I have to just tell you just bluntly, just let me be blunt. We do not have a resource problem in the United States. We don't. It's never been our problem. We've had wealth for hundreds of years. Our problem is something called idolatry, where we decide at some point in our lives to not worship God. And when we don't worship God, He's the last thing on our list. He becomes last, not first. We don't have a resource problem. So many of us that won't give think we don't have the money. It's we need a different view of our money. We have the money, we just have a priority problem. Everybody in here, if you're honest, we all have a priority problem. If you were put to the test and you're not giving, you haven't started giving, and you're not giving your first, then what you give first to is most important to you. And if it has to do with your livelihood, your house, whatever it is, then in your mind, in your belief system, because the way you're living out, where you put your money is an indication of what is number one to you. So if your first paycheck, if your first automatic withdrawal goes towards anything but God, you have a priority problem. I hate to say that and be the bearer of that kind of news, but it's true. God said, bring the first. You know, the priests, they would bring the first of the grain in, and the priest would set half of it on fire. That means God doesn't need you to give Him money to give Him first. He wants you to make Him number one. FYI, when you give, we don't burn half of the giving. We don't have a resource problem. We have a priority problem. I mean, most of us, if we looked at our finances and what we gave to first, so many of you have figured this out, and you're on that joy side of giving, and you enjoy it. But some of you are sitting there going, I can't do this. And I've talked to you, and your bills, and your this, and your debt, and your this. You're going, we can't do it. And I would challenge you the same as any other person. I would sit with you, if you sat with me and said, we have so much debt, we have trouble with our mortgage, all this stuff, I would say, still, listen, move giving to God to the top. You see, what people don't realize when they give to God at the end is just it's disgraceful to God. It's not honoring God when you wait to the end of what you think is important and then give Him the leftovers. Imagine this for a second. Can you imagine if you knew, and this would be crazy, this would be so cool, be all over social media, if Jesus was gonna come to your house for Thanksgiving? Right? How incredible that would be. Like, Jesus is coming here. Could you imagine for one second if he was coming to your house, putting Jesus at the kid table and telling him he's the last person that gets to go through the line? The leftovers. Jesus walking up, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, walking up to a turkey that's just half gone. Can you imagine? No way. He comes to your house. He's the guest of honor. You're going to give him the first. Hey, everyone, we're just going to pray, but we're just all look at Jesus because we're going to pray to him anyway. Jesus, thank you for all this food that you provided for us in our lives, in our livelihood, in our health. Thank you. You provided it. Don't say too much because we don't have any more room in here. Because if you say turkey, another turkey will fly out. Thank you, Jesus. And then you go last. Hey, you go first. You eat first. Thank you. We wouldn't have this without you. And what I find is so many of us need to flip our budget upside down. We need a different approach. We need to start off every single day, every month, giving first to God. And what I find is that if you make God the number one priority in your life, then what happens is the stuff that's at the end, you realize it's just not that important. You can live without it. You don't need it. But man, if you want to honor God and you believe he loves you and died for you and he cares about you, don't put him at the end here. Don't do the last. Don't give to God last. Don't do that. Don't do that to God. You would never do that. Don't do it in your finances. There are some people that go to this church, really special family goes to this church, and when online giving started to happen, they got a little nervous because they would bring their family to church and they would give in the buckets. And they wanted their kids to see, hey, we're tithing, we're giving our first to God. We're giving it right now. And they wanted their kids to see it. And then with online, you know, they don't see it. So what they did, and I recommend this, I think you have to do this. I think you have to move God up to number one and then let the chips fall as they may. Whatever's last down here is not important. It's last. Don't make God last. He's not last. He's first. But I recommend you do this. And what this family did is they bring their kids in to their office the first of the month. And they would show them on their bill pay online that the first bill that they paid, the first thing that they gave to was to the local church because they wanted their kids to see that God was first. Make him a priority. You make him a priority by giving first to God. First. Take the test, give your first and best. Take the test. Test God. Give your first. First thing you do. And then I believe what God does is he shifts us down this line, and Jesus in the New Testament, he brings giving to a heart level. And he says, I want people who give from their heart. And when he first starts his ministry, Jesus on earth, he's teaching, and he's teaching about what matters to God, what's important to God, the kingdom of God, on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6. And then he says to the people, he says, don't store your treasures on earth where rust and moth can destroy or where thieves can come in and steal it. But store your treasures in heaven. And then he says this. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to say this, and I need people to get excited if they believe this about God, okay? I need you to do this. I need to know that there's some people in here that can understand the connection between your finances and what matters most to God. There are people, and some of us are here, who don't understand that our finances are directly connected to what matters in our heart. Jesus is the perfect example of giving at a heart level. Where his treasure is where his heart is. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus came down to this earth and in full heart, full love, full exposure, full vulnerability, he said, I'm going to put my heart next to my treasure. And he hung on a cross next to thieves and said, you're my treasure and you're my treasure. I'm putting my heart by my treasure. You're God's treasure. He put his heart by you. He put himself next to your heart. He loves you so much, he died for you, and he says, I am coming into your space, and I'm going to put my heart next to what matters the most. And then what happened is Jesus, he went up into heaven, and you can just visualize that God's heart sits on a throne, and what matters to him are broken, lost, blind people who without Jesus Christ would live in eternity separated from God. And so he says, here's where my heart is. My heart is with people who are suffering. My heart is with people who are broken. My heart is to give my life for people who without me would die and be separated from me. His treasure is right where his heart is. Is your treasure next to God's heart? Better, is your heart in sync with God's heart? Because if your heart is in sync with God's heart, if what matters to God matters to you, then your treasure will be right next to it. People. People. Lives. People who are suffering, people who are dying, people who do not know Jesus, that if they don't hear the gospel message, they'll be separated from God forever. Is there anybody in here who wants to be a part of what matters most? Maybe a little bit. I'm telling you, when your heart comes alive for people, your treasure goes to help people. When your heart comes alive for people, your treasure goes to help people. It's better to put a fence at the top of a hill than build a hospital at the bottom. Let's build the local church, baby. Let's get people to know Jesus Christ. Let's have their lives be flipped upside down. Let's have them love their enemies. Let's have them turn their other cheek. Let's have them give their cloak. Let's have them go an extra mile because Jesus did all those things for them. You know how they learned that? The local church. Let's do that together. That's God's heart. He gave his life for that. Would you? Would you give your heart for changing people? Take the test. Give your first, give your best. Do you believe that God wants to change people for eternity? Then where your treasure is where your heart is. Whatever you give to represents what matters to you most. Does what matter to God matter to you? Where you store your treasure tells your heart story. Isn't that amazing? I mean, this is what Jesus says. If I looked at what you gave to, I could tell where your heart is. You might sit there and go, no, I'll tell you where my heart is. Say some things, go to some events, but where your heart is where your finances are. That's your heart. Are you ready to trust God in a new way? Are you ready to take a we can't step? Next week, I want everyone to be here. If you've already trusted God and made a commitment, we're going to ask you to renew that commitment. And if you've never done this, if you've never taken the test, given your first, given your best, then this next Sunday, you're going to get a chance to do that. We're going to give you a card. You're going to get to write down what it looks like to trust God. So don't miss it. There's a person who's on our sync team. His name is Tracy. He was in here the first service, and I can say this till I'm blue in the face, but when you hear Tracy talk about why he gives and how God has moved in his life, I want you to please connect with Tracy in the first part of his video. Maybe it's where you are today, where he was 25 years ago. And how when he took the test and started to give his first and his best, God showed up in his life. Guys, watch this video, and Carmen has a little bit more for us.
My name is Tracy Drew, and I love to support the church and give to the church. And quite honestly, it took a long time for me to give to the church. Gone to church my whole life. I believe everything in the Bible. Jesus walks on water. Jesus can raise people from the dead. But for some reason, I couldn't believe the part that says, hey, you should give, you give money. And I struggled that for years and years and years. And one reason I struggled with it is because a lot of the churches I went to never talked about tithing. When we started giving 25 years ago, financially, we were okay, but we gave to the Lord, and the Lord blessed us. And I didn't understand how that worked. And if I'm going to be honest, actually that first year that we gave, he blessed us. I stopped giving. I stopped giving my tithe because the pastor gave us a challenge. He said, tithe for 90 days. I tithe for 90 days. The Lord blessed us tremendously. And in my mind, that wasn't the Lord. We deserve that. So next year, he challenged us again. We tithed again, and he blessed us again. So, okay, even dumb as I am, I can figure this out now. And ever since then, he's blessed us, and he's blessed us, and he's blessed us, and I can't explain it. And once again, I don't want to make dollars and cents, but we make so much more money now than we did then. And I attribute it to the blessings of the Lord. You cannot outgive the Lord, and that's what we found out. So at a heart level, the Lord has softened my heart, and I think he's done that through these years. So I was pretty cold and calculating, accepted the challenge, and the Lord is faithful, and my heart softens a little bit. I'm sure that there's people out in the congregation today saying, why is Joel harping about tithing again? Why does the church always ask for money? And I was there. I was there 25 years ago. And I would actually say, I wish that the pastor would have talked more about tithing 25 years ago, because I would have got the blessings from the Lord 25 years earlier. Our pastor never really addressed it, so I never did anything about it. It's kind of almost like my first pastor was withholding blessings from us by not telling about what the Lord has promised. And the Lord says, I promise that I will do this. And the pastor never talked about that. So in a way, my blessings were withheld. That's why I would tell the person, hey, Joel needs to talk about it. I'm going to stress that Joel talks about it because he's withholding blessings if he doesn't. So I'd mentioned I'm a numbers guy, so I calculate everything out. On this We Can't series, my wife and I sat down and we set a goal, and we set a stretch goal. So we had a certain percentage that we were giving already, and we said, we're going to stretch this now because we need to. It's a We Can't series, and we need to stretch this. So we put out a stretch goal. Just the other day, I sat down and I did the math on it. And you know what? God's math just keeps working in strange ways that I can't explain. And we're right. We haven't given any more. Although the dollar amount is higher, the percent is the same. God just fills in the gaps.